Our friends had a good start and were able to maintain it, for with their 8 wings they could go just as fast as could the Gargoyles. All the way to the great rock the wooden people followed them, and when Jim finally alighted at the mouth of the cavern, the pursuers were still some distance away.
"But I'm afraid they'll catch us yet," said Dorothy, greatly excited.
"No, we must stop them," declared the wizard. "Quick, Zeb, help me pull off these wooden wings." They tore off the wings, for which they had no further use, and the wizard piled them in a heap just outside the entrance to the cavern. Then he poured over them all the kerosene oil that was left in his oil can, and, lighting a match, set fire to the pile. The flames leaped up at once, and the bonfire began to smoke and roar and crackle just as the great army of wooden Gargoyles arrived. The creatures drew back at once, being filled with fear and horror, for such a dreadful thing as a fire they had never before known in all the history of their wooden land. Inside the archway were several doors leading to different rooms built into the mountain, and Zeb and the wizard lifted these wooden doors from their hinges and tossed them all on the flames. "That will prove a barrier for some time to come," said the little man, smiling pleasantly all over his wrinkled face at the success of their stratagem. "Perhaps the flames will set fire to all that miserable wooden country, and if it does, the loss will be very small, and the Gargoyles never will be missed. But come, my children, let us explore the mountain and discover which way we must go in order to escape from this cavern, which is getting to be almost as hot as a bake oven." To their disappointment, there was within this mountain no regular flight of steps by means of which they could mount to the earth's surface. A sort of inclined tunnel led upward for a way, and they found the floor of it both rough and steep. Then a sudden turn brought them to a narrow gallery where the buggy could not pass. This delayed and bothered them for a while, because they did not wish to leave the buggy behind them. It carried their baggage and was useful to ride in wherever there were good roads, and since it had accompanied them so far in their travels, they felt it their duty to preserve it. So Zeb and the wizard set to work and took off the wheels and the top, and then they put the buggy edgewise so it would take up the smallest space. In this position they managed, with the aid of the patient cab-horse, to drag the vehicle through the narrow part of the passage. It was not a great distance, fortunately, and when the path grew broader they put the buggy together again and proceeded more comfortably. But the road was nothing more than a series of rifts or cracks in the mountain, and it went zigzag in every direction, slanting first up and then down, until they were puzzled as to whether they were any nearer to the top of the earth than when they had started hours before.
"Anyhow," said Dorothy, "we've escaped those awful gurgles, and that's one comfort."
"Probably the Gargoyles are still busy trying to put out the fire," returned the wizard. "But even if they succeeded in doing that, it would be very difficult for them to fly amongst these rocks, so I am sure we need fear them no longer." Once in a while they would come to a deep crack in the floor, which made the way quite dangerous, but there was still enough oil in the lanterns to give them light, and the cracks were not so wide but that they were able to jump over them. Sometimes they had to climb over heaps of loose rock, where Jim could scarcely drag the buggy. At such times Dorothy, Zeb, and the wizard all pushed behind and lifted the wheels over the roughest places. So they managed, by dint of hard work, to keep going. But the little party was both weary and discouraged when at last, on turning a sharp corner, the wanderers found themselves in a vast cave, arching high over their heads and having a smooth, level floor. The cave was circular in shape, and all around its edge, near to the ground, appeared groups of dull yellow lights, two of them being always side by side. These were motionless at first, but soon began to flicker more brightly and to sway slowly from side to side, and then up and down.
"What sort of place is this?" asked the boy, trying to see more clearly through the gloom.
"I cannot imagine, I am sure," answered the wizard, also peering about.